I love thy kingdom, Lord. The hymn is number 294. 294.
Is going to come now and lead us in prayer. Carrie?
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with open hearts in prayer and thanks to you, Creator and Lord of the universe, and for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. We owe him our perfect allegiance. And for the Holy Spirit, who guides us each day and teaches us and is with us. And Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning for your blessing upon this congregation, upon this worship service, and upon all those connected with it and the seminary. We ask your blessing upon Dr. Wingrove Taylor as he speaks with us this morning. Let your Holy Spirit come down upon this man with great power. And let the words flowing forth from his mouth be words that will inspire us to new heights of faith in you. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon the seminary and the whole community here. Let there be a more complete filling of your Spirit among all its members, so that we may be more perfectly yours. And this morning, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all the blessings that you have already bestowed upon us. We are already the richest nation in the world. And this is a very wealthy community, wealthy in your spirit. We thank you for this.
Thank you, Carrie. Dr. Taylor has asked that we concentrate for a moment on the scripture lesson, 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings 3, the two paragraphs beginning with verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings upon that altar. At Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown great and steadfast love to thy servant David, my father, because he walked before thee in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart toward thee. And thou hast kept for him this great and steadfast love, and hast given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, whom thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give thy servant therefore an understanding mind to govern thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this thy great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Amen.
Oh, say, 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 say,
It is our privilege and honor today to hear Dr. Wingrove Taylor. Some have called him the Paul Reese of the Caribbean. Certainly he is an articulate and warm-hearted preacher of Christian holiness. We are so glad to have him with us. Always we are happy to have a representative from the Wesleyan Church, where he is superintendent of that denomination in the Caribbean. We're glad to have a representative from the Caribbean area. We've had Carlson Christie here as a student. He graduated last year. Some of you will know him, remember him. And of course, Job Ward is with us this year, as is Dr. Samuel Wilson. Dr. Taylor, it is our pleasure to have you with us, and we look forward to what God has shared with you to share with us.
Thank you very much, sir. Greetings, my dear Christian friends. I count it a honor and privilege to be here this morning to share worship with the seminarians, and wish to express sincere thanks to the Reverend Mr. Gooden, who is principally responsible for my being in these parts at this time. I do bring you greetings from Carlston Christie, those of you who would know him. I suppose you would have to be something of a sophomore and junior and senior to know him. But he did ask me to bring greetings. We are very pleased with the work that he is doing in the Caribbean. And I wish on behalf of our peoples in the Caribbean to express thanks to Asbury for the training that is being afforded to our people from the Caribbean. We look forward to their returning to swell the ranks of Christian ministry and help us to carry on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in those parts. Turning to the Book of Kings and considering something of the history of Solomon, one of the great biblical characters, I would like us to learn something from the lamentable lapse in the life of this great King Solomon. As I say, Solomon is undoubtedly one of the outstanding biblical characters. And I want to suggest, as we consider several of the chapters dealing with his life here in the first book of Kings, that his outstanding character is directly traceable to the fact that God appeared unto him. You will notice in chapter 3 of 1 Kings, in verse 5, that the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream. And again, you will notice in chapter 9 the same experience or similar experience. The Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 2. So in chapter 3, we have God appearing to him, and in chapter 9, we have God appearing to him. And in chapter 11 and verse 9, again the sacred writer draws reference to the fact that God appeared unto him, saying, "The Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice." And I want to suggest to you that with the mention of God's appearing unto him twice, that there could have been the third appearance and the fourth appearance and on and on. And simply saying to us today that our blessing, our strength, our usefulness comes out of this intimate relationship with God. And may God help us never to get to the place where we feel that we can carry on his work simply from the knowledge that we have accumulated, simply from the talents that he has given unto us. There must be this distinctive plus of divine manifestation and appearing in our lives. I fear that too often in the day that one man has called a day of spiritual materialism, that we can find ourselves living habits of holiness and chalking up records of righteousness without any vital, intimate relationship with God. In fact, we seem to get along very well on the minimum of time spent with God. Oh, how God needs to speak to our hearts in the days in which we live to remind us again that there must be that vital intimacy with God. We must know Him. We must experience Him. He must be manifested in our lives. So often, our prayer life is anything but good. And as I have sometimes said, it seems that spiritually we can be living on the interest of last year's or 10 years' savings, or on the savings of some spiritual ancestor that has left us some endowment, instead of making daily deposits and increasing the richness of our relationship with God. Sometime in my own life, I must be ashamed of the running on the momentum of yesterday. Though that God would warm my own heart and all of our hearts to the vital necessity of a fresh, glowing experience with God. God appeared unto Solomon. And then, of course, in the appearing of God, what transpired, what came out of that appearing is important. And you will notice that in the first appearance, God said to Solomon, "Ask whatever you will, and I will give you." Well, that's a pretty big opportunity, you know, for the eternal God to simply put a blank paper before us with his name signed at the bottom and say, "You write in anything." We've been hearing a lot about one of your famous or otherwise sons of America who is now going through the grilling for the vice presidency. I think I understand that he has a penny or two. And if my dear friend were to put a white sheet before us with his name signed at the bottom and say, "You write in anything." There was one pastor who told me to be sure he would write for $1 million. And I suggested that maybe he will have written for the wrong thing. But that if he would write for the essence of the man, everything that makes the man what he is, if he would write for that, he would have received so much more than $1 million. Because, you know, we may have $1 million, but when we have the essence of the man, we have all of his millions. And this is exactly what Solomon did. God says that Solomon could have asked, as you see in verse 11, he could have asked for long life, and that is something that people think very valuable, and he could have asked for riches, and he could have asked for the life of his enemies, but no, he asked for the very essence of God, God's wisdom. "Give me wisdom, Lord." And he told God why he asked for wisdom. He says, "Your people are a great people, and I am unable to lead them. In fact, I consider myself but a child." And oh, what an example in the Old Testament of the childlikeness that Christ calls for in the New Testament. "I am but a child. Give me wisdom." And this pleased God so much. And my dear friends, this morning I suggest that if we are going to be full of service and blessing, we must have too wisdom from God. And you remember how important it was for Solomon to have wisdom from God, because in dealing with people, we do need wisdom from God. As ministers of the gospel, we do need wisdom from God. You remember it wasn't long after that two women came to Solomon, both claiming a living child, and both saying that a dead child was not theirs. Isn't it amazing how vocal and insistent and sometimes even vociferous some people can be in claiming the wrong? I've always said, oh God, give me a tender heart. You know, if I'm not supposed to leave Wilmore, or if I'm not supposed to be in Lexington, let us say, and I even get on the outskirts of Wilmore, with full intention to go to Lexington, and somebody lets off a gun in Lexington, as far as I'm concerned, I'm shot. If you understand that analogy. There are some people God speaks to them so directly, and yet still they are not shot. You will have examples in your church where people who have need of spiritual truth, and God sends the very truth that they need, and still it bears no relationship to them. And here was one such case before Solomon, this lady whose child, the living child, was not. Yet she is insistent, it is my child. And finally, Solomon, out of the wisdom that God gives him, says, bring me a sword, divide the living child, and let each woman have a half. And this suited one of the ladies very well, but it did not the other. She said, no, don't do this. Let her have the child. And Solomon says, give to her the child, for she is the mother. Oh, how much we need God's wisdom as we deal with men who will live eternally somewhere. And you remember how Solomon's wisdom flourished. In chapter 4, it says that God gave him an understanding, a heart exceeding much and largeness of heart. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, as we read in verse 30. He was wiser than all men. He was wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite and Heman and Calcol and Dada, the sons of Mahol. He was wiser than all of these people, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. Oh, what a wealth of truth, and oh, what a range of subjects this man dealt with, because God blessed him with wisdom. May God give unto us his wisdom today. Another thing that made Solomon great, and this is in relation to the second appearance that God gave unto him. And here in the second appearance of God to Solomon, God says, Solomon, I have answered your prayer, chapter 9 and verse 2. I have heard thy prayer, and verse 3, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication which thou hast made before me, and I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. In the first place, Solomon asked for wisdom from God. In this case, he is now asking for what we might call a welcome with God. Lord, let the door to your office be always open to me. Let me always have access to you. Let me always have audience with you. And friends, I don't know of anything better than having wisdom from God than to have a welcome with God, to know that whenever I need him, I can get into his presence. You remember how important it was for a certain queen to have access to the king, and she had not been called for some time. And she could not go unless she was called. And how she took her life in her hand and finally pressed into the presence of the king, uncalled. And oh, the relief when he put out his scepter and said, Queen, what is it that you want? I will give you even to half the kingdom. My dear friends, how important it is for us to have a welcome with God. And this is what Solomon asks for in the 8th chapter of the first book of Kings. In fact, 7 times he says, Lord, if so and so happened, beginning at verse 31, if such and such is the need of Israel, then hear thou in heaven. And if such and such be the case, then hear thou an answer. And there are 7 times in this chapter that Solomon says, if these be the needs of thy people, then hear thou in heaven an answer. And this is what God says in chapter 9, Solomon, I have heard your prayer. I will do exactly what you say. Mine eyes will be perpetually upon this house, and my ears will hear you when you cry. And may God give unto us as servants of his people this wisdom from God and this welcome with God when we need him and when our people need him. When there are situations that call for his presence and his aid, we may be assured of that presence and of that nearness and of that aid. What blesses me about Solomon is that you will notice that all of these chapters, most of them, begin with the conjunction and. And when a man has wisdom from God and a welcome with God, and you add to all of this and, you have blessing upon blessing. And then there are some of these chapters that begin with then and begin with so. And this is even better because you are now multiplying blessing. But you know, in the midst of these ands and thens and so, in verse 7 I come to a but. In chapter 7 rather, I come to a but, and that would make us nervous. And I'm not pressing this upon you with any degree of hermeneutic interpretation, but I'm pressing it upon you simply from my layman's heart. That in chapter 6 and verse 38 it says that Solomon was building the house of the Lord, so he was 7 years in building it, but Solomon was building his own house 13 years. And let us begin to get a bit nervous when we are expending more time on ourselves than we are expending on God. When we must give ourselves with such nervous energy to our own affairs and let God have what is left. It seems also to suggest in verse 2 of chapter 7 that he had a number of houses. You see, there is a certain king recently in one of the countries that has been having a very difficult time, a very unfortunate time, a very heart-rending time, and one of the things they have against him is that he had too many palaces. But you know, this gentleman isn't the only man who had a house in town and a house in the country and a house in the forest and a house by the lakeside. It seems as though Solomon had quite a number of houses himself. I get rather disturbed at the self-centeredness that appears in our day and time rather than the God-centeredness. But Solomon was 13 years in building his own house. And there is another but here in these chapters, and it is found in chapter 11. And maybe this but comes out of the first but. I do not make this with any strength of conviction, but I share it with you anyway. Maybe the second but comes out of the first but. And in chapter 11 it says, but King Solomon loved many strange women. He asked for wisdom from God, and he asked for a welcome with God. And now here in chapter 11, Solomon is going into worldliness away from God. For you notice he becomes taken up with the daughter, with the women of Moab and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Zidonians and the Hittites. Verse 2 says, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. It says, Solomon clave unto these in love. And oh, what a tragic lapse, a lamentable lapse came here into the life of Solomon, because now, as I say, he is going into worldliness away from God. He is allowing the world about him to squeeze him into its mold. You notice that in chapter 3 and verse 3, it says that Solomon loved the Lord. That was read to us in the scripture reading. Solomon loved the Lord. But now in chapter 11, we read, but Solomon loved many strange women. And my friends, where is the center of our love? Where is it focused? We are going to be God's good servants if our love is always loving the Lord. But now Solomon loves many strange women. Mustn't Solomon be put down as the king who built the great holy place? This would have to be his outstanding work. He built the great holy place. But do you notice in chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, Then, after this shift of his love, after this movement away from wisdom with God and a welcome with God to worldliness away from God, after this shift, then we have verse 7 saying, then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their God. The builder of the holy place now becomes known as the builder of the high places. Oh, what a tragedy when our forefathers, our denominations, or we ourselves as individuals have had a rich experience with God, and out of that rich experience with God have built the towering edifices of holy places, that we should come to a lamentable lapse in our life, and out of that lapse go to the opposite and build high places. High places where Chemosh and Molech are worshipped and honored. Oh, the tragedy of seeing denominations and individuals go this way. People who once had the glory and the blessing and the fire, they have now turned up building idolatrous places. And don't think that this can be simply expressed in terms of the changes and the times and what is popular. For verse 9 of chapter 11 says, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. My friends, God is always deeply grieved when we turn from him to the idols of this world, be they the ugly forms of the primitive peoples or the more lovely forms that we have today. God is always angry, and he's heartbroken that rich relationship that he had with us, appearing to us, giving us his wisdom, giving us a welcome, is now broken. And you remember what followed in the sequence. The door was wide open now for Israel's departure from God. Following Solomon's reign, the kingdom was divided. Of the 10 tribes, we have not one righteous king throughout the entire history of the kingdom. Of the 2 tribes in the south, we have only occasional appearances of a righteous king. And we have Israel finally ending up in captivity and away from God, because one man who should have continued a life of wisdom from God and welcome with God turned to a life of worldliness away from God. May God help me today, as his servant in 1974, to know him in all of the rich fullness of that knowledge. And in a generation when people never needed more, to know him and to hear from him. May I maintain a life of vital relationship, having him appear to me, giving me his wisdom, giving me his welcome, that indeed it may be said of all of us, we have the wisdom of God, and speak of his greatness from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that comes from the wall. Shall we pray? Our Father, we have given thy word. We pray that the Holy Spirit may apply it, and that we may walk in the light of it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we ask.
Be thou my vision, hymn number 256.
Reach heaven's joyful bright and sun.